Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is the fourth day of May, 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go to jump into the chat room, the real-time multimedia extravaganza that accompanies the live program every evening between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah, let's see. Good evening to 4 of 9 and Laborman and Texas D and Waggy. Having folded space, our third stage guild navigator, Sparky, is in his incarnation as men. Really, are we going to do this? Crazy here. Fun. And nothing happening out there in the interweb tube land. God almighty. Well, that's brand new and interesting. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what's going on here. I just love beginning the program this way. I do not want the night off. Sorry about all the clackety there, but communicating with the with chat room. Well, fiddle-dee-dee. Apparently, okay, so we had some buffering going on there. Now it's not happening anymore. Ay, ay, ay. And this being Moran Monday, because it is, okay. Well, I'm going to stop the recording and see if I can find out what happens and what's happened, and then we'll get the program going. All right, so we're going to take the program intro as read. I think you all probably can imagine that in your own noggins, being as how it's been running for 10 years. Thank you, Jeremy, letting me know, yes, you're live. Hallelujah. So I have restarted the... all I had to do was fake swear a little bit. But it is, like I said, it is the fourth day of May, 2015. This is The Horn. And let's see, I was just done welcoming everybody to the chat room. Good evening, Doctor Who. Good evening, 4 of 9. Good evening, Jeremy. Chug a punch. Good evening, Labor Man. Good evening, Mr. Gibson. Good evening, Texas T. And Waggy. And, of course, good evening to chat room moderator Sparky, who is presently in, who has folded space to become Man Cave. Yeah, here I am. And this really is live. Good. I'm sorry, it just kind of burped my head when that happens. So, let's see. Okay. So I didn't get to the... Oh, by the way, if you want to support the program, you go to the Contribute tab of headonradionetwork.com, and there you will find the PayPal interface. If you wish, you can sign up for a recurring monthly contribution, and that'll just happen automatically. Easy as pie, if you wish to do so. Remember, there are some rather intrusive fields there that you can leave blank. All you need to do is put in enough information to get to the next screen and do all the PayPal stuff. And with that in mind, I wanted to make mention of something that was very kind and generous that happened over the weekend. We had a matching offer to the tune of $250 from a person who wished to remain anonymous. And in conversation with that individual, it was related to me that this person wished for this not to necessarily be, well, that this was an effort to get out in front, and suggested that we try to do so. So, yeah, we try to raise $150 every evening. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But how to put this? It would be nice if, instead of just saying $150, we could try to really seriously get way the hell out front, to the point that we had, like, May and, you know, well, I don't know, how can I put this, where we're working a month ahead. That's what I'm getting at. So anybody who wants to is welcome to and encouraged to just go ahead and jump in this evening. And thanks to everybody who responded so kindly to the anonymous challenge of the weekend. Let's see, if I recall correctly, the first person in was Chad. Mm-hmm. And thank you very kindly to Chad. Thanks to Jason and James and Don and John. Thank you very kindly to Yuki. Thank you to Dan. Thank you to Michael. It was quite an impressive little gathering there. Thank you all very, very much. Hopefully lots more folks will chip in. And really, just let's get done with May, start on June, and have a cushion. And massive bill paying will be done, and life will be a little less stressful. I hate even talking about all this stuff. You know that. But by the way, for anyone interested in using the U.S. Postal Service, the address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801, with a reminder that checks, money orders should be made to The Horn and not to Bob Kincaid, because, well, I don't see him. That's what Boss Man Wayne does. Okay, good. Got that taken care of. We are actually broadcasting. Another bonus. Nice little group gathering in the chat room. I don't know which doctor that is in the chat room, Marty. Marty wants to know, with regard to Doctor Who in the chat room, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 13th, the next doctor, maybe? Couldn't that be one and all of the doctors? Yeah, see? Okay, so, yeah, you know, it's kind of odd. It was toward the end of last week that we had the little conversation about the fact that Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King had invited a well-known, widely traveled Islamophobe to speak to a conservative group in Washington, D.C. He is apparently on a national tour, Geert Wilders. And his purpose is to inflame a crusade. This past weekend reminds us... Wait a minute. Well, this past weekend reminds us that there really are a noisy... There really is a noisy plurality of people in this country who badly yearn for the bloodshed of a religious war. As we noted in... What in the world? Stand by. Never a dull moment. So, anyway, no, there is a noisy plurality of people who achingly yearn for a religious bloodbath. They want a worldwide conflict between Christianity and Islam because the last few worked out so delightfully. You know, Crusades 1, 2, 3, 4. How many were there? 5? And drenched the world as, well, the old world, drenched the old world in blood. Oddly enough, some of the discoveries that would come from, some of the discoveries that would come from contact with the East would lead European peoples of the Western, of Western Europe to develop the technology to start sailing around the oceans. So you can make a credible argument that the roots of the Native American genocide lie in the Christian attempt at genocide that was the Crusades. So I'm hoping that we will talk a little bit about the nasty-ass shooting and the nasty-ass little clavern meeting in Garland, Texas that precipitated it. I hope we'll talk about that this evening. We don't have to, but we can. Because it seems to me that we really did sort of go look... Well, we didn't. I didn't. You didn't. We're not a bunch of Islamophobic bigots. Nor are we anti-Semitic. Nor are we anti-Christian or anti-anything. Except for we are anti-theocracy. Yeah. Pam Geller was at the center of this little nightmare that unfolded in Garland, Texas. And she is every word I can think of, including some I will not repeat, to describe an odious human being of minimal worth. And as a liberal and a progressive, I think everybody has worth. It's just that Pam Geller has used whatever of hers was, whatever it to try to foment a crusade. I mean, the very essence of what they decided to do in Garland, Texas. Now, bear in mind, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is a decidedly non-Islamic organization, has condemned Geert Wilders. Geert, who cares? Anybody with any sense of morality has condemned this nasty little Dutch fascist who is presently in the United States. And yet the people, Steve Cantaloupe's King, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, and the various and sundry gunned up, dead from the neck up right wingers who want that religious war. Well, he's been talking, Wilders has been talking in Miami, and they made a direct, because the only reason they went to Garland, Texas, is because there had been an anti-Islamophobia event in the same building back during the winter, when snake flag waving weirdos gathered outside to scream, "Don't wave our flag, ye Merkin!" You remember? We featured it here. So they went to that specific space to hold a Muhammad cartoon display. Because, you see, that's what Garland, Texas needed. A display of Muhammad cartoons. Hey, that's a great word. Ron in Raleigh says, it's time to bring back an old appellation. Pam Geller is a skeezer. I like that. Like that a lot. It was I understand. This is a difficult topic to cover. It's a difficult topic to discuss. And I have no doubt that is he still live? Is the season still ongoing? By the time Friday rolls around, I'm sure that Bill Maher will be having another one of his anti-Muslim conniptions. Let's make no mistake about it. I don't want to be a Muslim. I reject it. I reject their God. I also reject the God of Judaism and the God of Christianity. Not so, you know, and I don't really so much reject them as say, well, you know, they're not real. Bill Maher will be having a hissy by the time Friday rolls around. Pam Geller is already having a hissy. Gert Wilders had himself photographed with the SWAT team that had to be there to cover the event. Which leads to a few basic questions. One, why did the event center, it wasn't a school, but it's an event center owned by the Garland, Texas Independent School District. Why did they rent to them? No! Don't think so. Additional cost brought on. All because they knew that by having a... And this, again, this wasn't just a display of Muhammad cartoons. This was a cartoon drawing contest. There was a $10,000 prize offered for the best, by God only knows what metric that would be, Muhammad cartoon. And what little footage you saw from inside the building made clear that there just weren't a hell of a lot of people here. This was a deliberate case of incitement. There is not a damn nickel's worth of difference between what Pam Geller, Gert Wilders, and what do they call themselves? It's some hate group, as identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Whatever they call themselves, this was a matter of them walking into a theater and yelling fire. If we haven't already, there will be lamenting, you know, sort of, well, golly darn, lamenting by progressives and liberals. Well, you know, we got freedom of speech in the United States, and, you know, it's a messy business of democracy that we aren't really. And, well, you know, you're going to have this once in a while. This comes on the heels of a controversy in New York City in which a judge ruled that buses would have to accept advertising containing a kill the Jews message, which was not actually by an anti-Semitic group, but was in fact by Pam Geller's outfit, saying that that's what all Muslims say and believe. This wasn't a problem until Pam Geller and Gert Wilders and Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert made it a problem. At least one of the shooters, and they were both killed, and some of the coverage I saw said, oh my goodness gracious, imagine if we hadn't had a SWAT team there that was armed to the teeth. What if it was just some poor innocent cop with just a pistol? And so when the two dudes from Arizona showed up with their, hey, look, one man's nightshirts, another is another man's pajamas. Them was freedom protectors in their hands too, friends and neighbors. You're damn right they were. And so there you go, a couple of guys. I wonder how much trouble they had buying those firearms in America. Might this be the moment when America looks up? You know, similar to the moment with the Black Panthers on the steps of the California Assembly, California Capitol building. Might this be that moment when America says, "Yeah, I don't think we need so damn many guns." No, it won't. A law enforcement source identified one of the shooters, or attempted shooters, as Elton Simpson. He's apparently made a false statement involving international and domestic terrorism. Nadir Sufi was the other hopeful gunman. They were roommates in Phoenix. Much has been made of the fact that Gert Wilders is on an Al-Qaeda hit list. a paragraph down in the CNN story, I'm looking at a traffic officer working at... Wait, because, I don't know, Barbie might be listening. A traffic officer working after hours as security for the event and armed only with a service pistol killed both men who were wearing body armor and carrying assault rifles. Garland Police Department spokesman Joe Harn told reporters Monday. Yeah. Garland Police Department spokesman Joe Harn said, "We think their strategy was to get into the event center, and they were not able to get past our perimeter that we had set up." That perimeter would, of course, and never mind, this is the for-profit media after all, they can't be bothered with this sort of detail. That perimeter would not have been necessary had not Geert Wilders and Pam Geller and the rest of their ugly little freak organization decided to deliberately rent it out so as to try to get a nice, healthy, hearty, blood-soaked religious war going. You know, during all the years between 2001 and when he was eventually killed, I did not spend one day being afraid of Osama bin Laden or any of his buddies, not one. But I am right uneasy with Pam Geller and her buddy Gert, not to be confused with Governor Earl Ray Tomlin Gert. I don't know how much more plainly to put it, but it is abundantly obvious that these bigots are trying to start a war. And that frightens the living bejesus out of me, more so than Osama bin Laden ever did. Because they're trying to get a war started, as we saw this past weekend, on American soil. They're trying to make a self-fulfilling prophecy out of their claim that America is full of Muslim sleeper cells. I don't suggest you try it, but from a theoretical standpoint, how many times one poke at a sensitive spot before whoever possesses the sensitive spot pokes back? This was the social, cultural, and bigotish equivalent of the old hillbilly thing of standing there with a little rock on your shoulder and saying, "Knock it off, I dare ye. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple double dog dare you. Knock it off." It's Jack Palance in Shane. "Pick up the gun." And then when the guy picks up the gun, he blows his brains out. "You saw he had a gun." And, of course, Pam Geller and that ilk all screaming about Sharia law. It's distressing. Hey, let's run over to the phone for a minute. By Jove, I think we haven't heard from Tracy in a while, and I think we've got her right now. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How the hell are you?
Hey, I'm a little worried.
So, yeah, about that shooting, I heard the story. You know how you sleep and your TV's on, but you're sleeping and you're thinking that this can't absolutely be real.
Right.
Because how stupid can people be? And then you wake up and you find out it really happened.
Yeah.
And you go, "For real, dogs? Seriously? You didn't learn about what happened in France and, you know, and all the other places that people, I mean, it just, I said, wait, did they really say, because like I said, it was a whole dream thing, and I'm like, did they just really say that they were having a contest on who can, right, draw the most outrageous or most insulting cartoon?
Yeah, and you know what, Tracy, there are questions there that I don't have answers to. So I guess I'm speculating, but who are they trying to get to draw the cartoons? I mean,
that was my next question.
What if it was a sixth grader or a fourth grader?
What was exactly what, you know, because these people have no sense. So what, like you said, what if it had been somebody's child up in there, you know, because they take, you know, these people feel that.
Well, the what,
you know,
if of that is, yeah, Tracy, the what if of that is that they don't care. Because
care.
It's all an acceptable sacrifice in getting this theocratic war on, this crusade going.
The crusades. We're going to have our own version of the crusade.
Oh, no. Well, see, the last time we had crusades, this side of the planet had not been discovered by what people, you know, then they're hoping they'll get it going, you know, they'll circumnavigate the globe with their bloodshed. Understand at the very base level, Pam Geller is a genocidalist. So is Geert Wilders. I'm not exaggerating. To them, the only good Muslim is a dead Muslim.
Is a dead Muslim. So they probably wouldn't like me being that black lesbian person.
No, not so much. And see,
it was bad enough that I was black, but then I threw in the lesbian part. I had to double down.
I mean, I think I don't know if we have any people of the Muslim faith listening to this program. If we do, I hope they understand.
I would love for their opinion.
I would love to have the opinion, but I also hope that people of any faith listening to this program understand that, you know, I'm wide open to all those faiths. You go practice, you go believe what you want to believe. Just leave me out of it because I don't buy it.
Exactly. You do you, boo. Okay? I don't care to be, okay, I'm a Christian, yes. But I'm not, you know, I don't feel as though I have to go to foreign countries and spread my faith. No, I just like a chocolate cake and some milk, please. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay, we're at the drive-thru?
Yes.
Yeah, it's okay. I saw the food porn earlier today, Tracy. That just wasn't nice.
Well, you know, what had happened was, as you know, Alex's birthday was this past weekend, and on Sunday I went to dinner or lunch with a couple of friends from my church, and we got to talking about, you know, summer's coming, and one of my friends was like, you know, I want to go somewhere and have seafood by the water. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, we should do that because my birthday's going to be in July, and it'll be perfect. And so I went where to go. And I said, ooh, let me pull up Gladstone so I can see the picture of where we took Alex 2 years ago. And I guess since I looked at it yesterday, it reposted because I didn't even mean for it to, you know, repost. I was just showing the picture so we could kind of get an idea. And when we ordered that, let you know that we didn't even plan on it. We didn't know it was that big. That was just for Alex. Had we known it was that much food, we would have just ordered it for the entire table. And so that's the look on his face. The look on his face is pure like, what the hell? How the hell am I supposed to eat all this food?
But I'm going to try.
You know what? He did a damn good job. When it comes to eating and stuff,
that was a great big pile of shellfish and stuff like that. And the reason I mentioned it, Tracy, is we can't have that if, you know, if you buy into certain of those faiths. And no barbecued pulled pork pig barbecue neither. And I'm not playing with anybody who wants to mess with the menu.
See, I this is one of those things when I think about leaving California and all that, I'm like, I don't know. You know, our pastor is leaving California. He got a position at one of the largest gay churches in America that just happens to be in Texas. How did that happen?
Well, you know, there's gay folks there, too. Right. You know what?
Yeah, but one of the biggest ones in the country?
Well, look, there's a lot of people in Texas. It stands to reason there'd be a lot of gay people. There's probably more gay folks in Texas than there are in some small states. There's probably more gay people in Texas than there are in West Virginia and Kentucky combined.
Yeah, I just can't. But they're moving to Dallas, him and his husband. Now, my pastor is from England, and then his husband is the Santa, so the husband's going to be okay.
By the way, yours, the church you go to is a metropolitan community church, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, you might want to check the archives back a couple of weeks because we had a magnificent conversation with a pastor from a metropolitan community church in Durham, North Carolina.
Really?
And she was some kind of awesome. You need to go back. It was a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday two, three weeks back. Her name's Marilyn Bowens. And I tell you what, I mean, she brought the gospel.
See, and that's why I love me my church. I love me some church. Because that's the thing. We, you know what? Like you said, I don't force my religion on anybody. I do not. You know, I tell people in a minute that I'm a Christian, and it's because of my faith that got me through a lot of the crazy of my life and with that and so forth. But just because it worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And who am I to try to force my beliefs on anybody else? And that's one of those things that makes me crazy. You know, like these missionary missions and stuff like that. I'm like, y'all, stay out of these people's countries. Okay? Because I don't think we should be going anywhere where a person could be murdered because they decide that they want to be a Christian. And how arrogant is it for us to make us other Christians to think that our religion is so much better than anybody else's? I mean, I get in a lot of trouble for those.
Well, no, I really think you're going to enjoy going back in the archives because it was pretty special. I mean, when Reverend Bowens straight up said that these fundamentalists are heretics. I hadn't heard that before. Mm-mm. It was good.
See, fundamentalist heretics. Yeah, damn. She brought it down. She wasn't playing.
No. It was an absolutely joyful conversation, and I think.
How did she wind up on your show? Was it just an interview, or did she call in?
It was an interview. It was a set-up interview. And because we were trying to get our heads around the religious hatred that forms the apparent core of fundamentalist Christianity in this country, and she peeled it like a grape too.
Oh yeah, so you said it was a few Wednesdays back?
A couple, yeah.
Okay, and was she on the whole show? It doesn't matter.
It's an hour. It's right there.
This is what I love about, we have a link on our website about, you know, Christianity and the Bible and stuff like that. And one of the things, because of course, you know, when I fell in love with Jan, I was not terrified at all. I mean, cause, you know, I know where my faith is and I know, you know, but I still had issues. Because as much as you can say, you know, you love everybody and, you know, you're free, but when it comes down to your own walk and your own testimony, I have to do some serious soul searching as to whether or not I was ready to be in a relationship and give up the one bit of privilege that I have in this country, which is being heterosexual.
Right. Yeah. By the way, it was April the 15th.
Okay, cool.
So that'll make it easy for you. She's, you know, she is a black lesbian Metropolitan Community Church pastor.
Yeah, usually since my pastor was effectively his last Sunday preaching. And so now we have on next Sunday or Mother's Day, but Sunday after next. They do what they call, we have a guest pastor for 4 weeks. And then they start this, and then we have an interim pastor. And the interim pastor stays there while we do our pastoral search. And that could take anywhere from a year and a half to two. I'm hoping that it wasn't taking that long. And what we're hoping is that we get a woman as our senior pastor. Not only a woman, but a woman of color. Because our church is very white. And very male. Because even within, you know, within the gay community, it's still a very, you know, white, patriarchal thing. And it's just like, as a matter of fact, we're having issues because some of our churches are leaving the MCC and going to UCC. I think that's Tim's church. And as a matter of fact, the church that my pastor's going to is a UCC church that used to be an MCC. So there's some shifts there's some things happening. But I, you know, because one of the things that we're finding out, see, MCC, you know how you say, you hear the churches say we're gay affirming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In other words, we're now allowed, we are cool with the gay. We're okay with the gay. Y'all come on. We cool with the gay.
Right.
You know, but see, MCC was never, it was never affirming. It was a straight up, we're gay church. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, so from what, and I'm, you know, I'm learning the history, but from what I understand, UCC is not, was, is an affirming gay church. It didn't start off at openly, just straight out, we're gay, you know, we're here, we're queer, we're not going anywhere kind of thing. So, you know, but anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that when I get home. But back to the crazy white people in Texas.
Yes.
Now.
And it was. It was pretty much white. The limited footage I saw of the gathering, I didn't see much in the way of black folks.
No, I mean, not to say that you won't, because there's, you know, the ones that drank the Kool-Aid, you know, I have my list.
Hey, Ben Carson's running for president. Yay!
Well, did you hear Carly Fiore or whatever that bitch is saying?
Yeah, and I guess Mike Huckabee's jumping in tomorrow. We're going to need a bigger clown car.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm just going to sit back and pop some homemade. This is worthy of breaking up the popcorn popper that you put on the stove and you stir the popcorn as it's cooking. Kind of thing.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Because this shit going to be off the chain. It is going to be some, it's going to be frightening. Because like you were saying, Bin Laden, I was never terrified at all of Bin Laden. Didn't bother me at all. He's up in a, he was chilling in a cave somewhere. He ain't coming out. And then we took a, and then our president took him out and some SEALs took his ass out. Okay. I'm scared of these crazy motherfuckers. See, I started cussing. See, I said I wasn't going to. What's terrifying?
Hey, Tracy, we're swear word affirming here.
You know, what's scaring me to the very fiber of my being to, that makes my heart, my blood run cold, terrified, are these fools like in Garland, Texas, and Miss Pam Geller, because they want a war. They want a whole war.
Yeah, I mean, how is it, because we're just processing here, right, Tracy? We're just processing. How is it that if some folks come down from New York City to try to break the pernicious grip of Jim Crow 50 years ago, they're outside agitators. But if she comes down from New York City or over from Miami or, you know, whatever rock Pam Geller lives under, how is it that she can just go into Garland, Texas and she's just affirming freedom. That's freedom affirming.
Wait, hold up, Bob. Okay, now I'm gonna get kind of ghetto. So white folks, listen, don't be offended.
That's okay. But by the way, I got to tell you, it just occurred to me. If you're gonna talk about crazy white folks in Texas, you're gonna have to narrow it down a little bit, okay?
Right, that's what I'm saying. But how this bitch ain't even from, wasn't even from Texas. She bought her.
Oh hell no!
Oh hell no! Wait a minute. She wasn't even from Texas. See, I thought...
No, she tweets out bikini pics and shit from the Sunshine Coast of Florida and stuff.
Ain't this about a bitch. So she comes from clear across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks Texas. Why didn't she just have happy ass in Florida? She could have done the same thing in Florida.
No, because some Muslims had them a We Love America rally in the same building. And there was a big stinker last winter.
Wait, what was it?
January, February, because some Muslim people who was carrying American flags and everything and saying the Pledge of Allegiance and God bless George Washington and all of that stuff. Well, they had a meeting there about resisting racism and resisting Islamophobia and affirming their love for America.
How dare they?
And all kinds of white people with snake flags, you know, don't read to me, showed up and screamed.
Did you say don't read to me?
Yeah, that's what the snake flag says. Got a little buck-toothed snake on it, kind of cross-eyed. If it had ears, they'd be all big and floppity. It's a deliverance snake. If it had arms, it'd be playing a banjo. But it's, don't read to me.
Oh, my God.
And all the white peoples of their home, put down my American flag because you ain't American. You little murky, you little holler.
You want
some Sharia law. And, of course, it was all ginned up by the usual suspects. I'm sure by now you can buy a video of the creeping threat of Sharia law for only $39.95 from Alex Jones. But Pam Geller is originally from New York City. That's why they recently had a campaign to put ads on buses in New York City saying, "Kill Jews." No, really.
Oh, my God.
And that went all the way to the courts, and the court said, yep, they paid their money. You got to put your kill Jews signs on the buses in New York.
And New York. With all Geller, isn't that Jewish?
She is.
Thank you for that chocolate cake, because that just helps sweeten. That helped me deal with that.
You know what? Yeah, the endorphin release that comes from the consumption of chocolate can be helpful in a time like this. I had a little chocolate cake before the program.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, dude, seriously, bitch? Seriously? You are in New York, damn near Jew Central. The only place that there's more Jews in the city, maybe Miami. And you're going to put up...
Oh, yeah.
Now... What's the difference, like you said, that's not the equivalent of yelling fire in a theater?
Yeah, see, it kind of is.
So,
It's a disgusting level of incitement.
That it is sick.
I mean,
and
I don't know if it's a masturbation fantasy, this religious war she wants. I don't know what it is. But it's sick, it's twisted.
And again, I was praying that I was just, I'm telling you, Bob, because when did this happen? Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday night?
Yeah, because Saturday we went out and we came back home and I wasn't feeling well. I got to go to the doctor. We're having tingling issues and that's not good.
Oh, we don't like tingling issues.
We don't like the tingling stuff in the fingers and the bottoms of the feet. So Jan I came home, and she had me put my feet up. And, of course, you know, I was in and out of sleep. So when the news came on Saturday night, because by the time, it was on 11 o'clock our time. And then the next morning, they were talking about it, and that the bodies were still lying there. And I don't think I really want to have a religious war. I'm cool. I don't believe in missionary journeys. The only time I believe in anything, people going to a different country to help, is when they're actually helping. Like, you know, education, building roads, getting water, whatever. But not pushing their religion on anybody else. These people who are, especially indigenous people who have been in these countries for millennia, I think they're cool with what they're doing, dealing with, right? I think they got it down. They're cool with their religion or whatever they practice, even if they don't. Because everybody doesn't have to have religion. This is what people don't get. Everybody doesn't have to practice religion.
But you have to understand, There's an element of paranoia at work here too, because so they set up this spectacle, and they invite people to it, and they talk about how they're going to do things that deliberately incite religiously insane people to violence, and then when exactly what they wanted to have happen happens,
happened.
Out comes Pam Geller and hollers, "Oh, it's an assault on free speech."
I have to give it to these people. They ain't stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're just sitting back and waiting for, you know, burn, baby, burn. Let's burn. What I just don't understand is, don't they get it? See, back during the Crusades and all this other stuff, they just had bows and arrows and all this other stuff and you know, the fireballs and all that, the tar and hot oil and all that. Y'all, we got people playing with nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And see if the Pam Gellers of the world can incite enough anger on the other side, then when the people on the other side do something about it, they holler, "See how crazy they are? We sat there and poked them with a sharp stick, and we poked them and poked them and poked them and poked them, and then they poked back. That's because they're crazy."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you walk up to somebody and punch them in the nose, and then they swing back at you, do you really get to scream, "See, they're attacking me"?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like back when the Beacons of Defense and Negroes with guns and all that. They're like, "What? They're shooting back?" Yeah, motherfuckers, they're shooting back. You think just because you know you're so used to us being the noble Negroes, people get tired. They get tired of being pushed around. They get tired of being beat on. And they get tired of turning the other fucking cheek. I got a cheek for you to kiss my left cheek on my ass. How about that? Turn that cheek. Why do these people think that people just going to sit back and just take it?
Well, they don't. They don't. That's the whole point,
Tracy.
That's what
they're hoping. That's what they're hoping.
No, they do get it. This is a confluence of radical right-wing Judaism, as I guess practiced by Pam Geller, in confluence with the rapture-ready Christian fundamentalist crowd. And if they can just get the damn war going, well, then Jesus is going to come back. Is Jesus going to come back? And then the fundies are going to get to kill all the Jews they want who won't confess that Christ is the Lord and Savior of them all. See how it works? I know it's nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake, but that's how they sort it out. Because, see, there's all kinds of weird, crazy, bizarre crap that they believe. Like, for instance, you know that mosque that sits on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? It's called the Dome of the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Big golden dome, you know, fired blue and white clay tiles, that kind of stuff. Well, that thing's got to go. Because in order for Jesus to come back, Jewish people have to rebuild the temple that the guy who had become the Emperor Titus pulled down just about to the last rock. I mean, he left one miserable retaining wall there, but that was it. So they got to rebuild that, but they can't rebuild that as long as the Dome of the Rock's there. And if they can get a good religious war on, they're pretty sure that somebody will go blow up the Dome of the Rock.
Oh, God.
Then they can get some temple building going on. They're working on their breeding a pure red heifer program. There's people out there funding the remaking of all the temple hardware. And, you know, we'll be back to animal sacrifices. And then here comes Jesus.
Oh, God.
Understand, they see the rapture as an opportunity to kill everybody they don't like.
Yeah.
And they don't like anybody.
They don't like anybody. They don't like anybody.
Everybody's got their own. All the little sects have their own different little variations of beliefs, but they got to get rid of the ones that they know are a problem, and that's unbelievers, wrong believers, wrong coloreds,
black people, gay people,
right,
disabled people.
You got it.
Well, it's like when I went.
This Pam Geller creep. Just so you know, hey, do you remember the 9/11 mosque that wasn't the great big nothing burger that was the 9/11 mosque controversy?
Yeah.
Well, she was behind that. You know, no mosque here.
I think it was the perfect place for a mosque.
And the American Freedom Defense Initiative has, as I noted, been identified repeatedly by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a right-wing hate group in this country.
Oh, I just went to a lecture the other day. Guess who? What state has the most hate groups?
Do tell.
California.
Well, big state. Yeah, you're a country.
Big state. So we have more hate groups in California than any other state. And this is why I tell people this is not the state. I mean, again, I'm not leaving California anytime soon. But, you know, if we got the most hate groups here, what do you think is happening in the rest of the country? I mean, I haven't seen anything going as far as, you know, what's happening in Texas. That's the one thing. We may have them more than anybody else, but I'm not going to say they're not as crazy, but they're a lot more covert. Probably, because like I said, and depending on the part of the state, because there's parts of the state, like in parts of Central California and Northern California, and up in some of these hills that I'm not surprised.
State of Jefferson.
You know, I you know, years ago before Jared and I got together, I had actually considered moving to Georgia because, you know, my brother's there, I got a sister there, my mom's in North Carolina. But this was before I became politically aware.
Talked yourself right out of it, didn't you?
Yeah, so I am very grateful for the 2008 election and now paying attention to what's going on in this country statewide as far as their laws and their educational system. Not that I'm going to worry about having children, but still, I can't live in these states. I listen to what's going on in your neck of the woods. So I can't do it. My mouth is too big for one damn thing. And I'm not good with people looking at me up and down, cross-eyed or one way, because they feel that they're better than me. And they don't even know me. The only thing they see is I walk into the door, into the room, is a black woman. They don't know I'm gay. They don't know anything else other than I'm black. Oh, and I have locks. So that's right there. So you know I smoke the weed. Because I have locks. Because, you know, I must be from Jamaica automatically. So there's that. And I mean, not to say that it doesn't happen here, but the likelihood of me being killed or lynched or just being disappeared because of who I am is not as likely as it would be in other parts of the country. And I don't like those odds, especially now that I married to a woman. I should not have to worry about my life. I should not. Anywhere. It's hard enough me just walking down this, you know, just being identifying as a, you know, not identifying, but being identified as a black person in this country. And, you know, at least I'm not a black male. The one time that it's a good thing if I'm black that I'm not a black man, because the likelihood, see, they're not really going to really mess with me now. I'm at that, you know, I'm middle age or close to it or whatever they consider middle age. And, you know, I'm heavy set and all that. So the likelihood of being harassed by the cops, not much. But then there's my son. And I have to worry about that every day.
Yeah, I bet you spent some sleepless nights in his regard.
I do. And I shouldn't, you know, when people try to compare, like that stupid bitch, Mitt Romney's wife, who tried to compare her sons going off on their little mission to, you know, mothers whose sons are going off to war. You know, will you diminish what I have to go through? You know, not to say parents don't worry about their kids when they leave the house. Of course they do. So said, but not to the same extent that I have to worry about every time my son leaves the house or any mother that has a black son. Look at what happened. Freddie Gray was just walking down the street. He didn't even do anything. It wasn't even, he, from what I understand, they said that he looked at the cop the wrong way or the cop felt like he had been disrespected.
Well, understand that at least one of the cops who's been charged, and, you know, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Freddie Gray's record has been smeared all over creation. So it's only fair to mention that the cop who had a hand in killing him has a little domestic violence problem.
Mm-hmm. Did you love how they were trying to say that he snapped his own neck?
Oh, sure. There was that. And then I saw some right wing rat site website put out his rap sheet, and you know, a bunch of nonviolent drug offenses. But there's a backstory that is beginning to come to light that would just make you weep, and I plan to get into it later in the evening because it's.
And it's see,
breathtakingly
this is what I,
awful.
And see, again, there's too many of these stories, Bob. I mean, I'm happy that, oh, that's the young sister in Baltimore ain't no joke, is she?
The prosecutor? No. And she's got
no joke.
Yeah, and she's got the, and apparently white folks are losing their tiny, tiny minds, you know, the fraternal order of police, you know, because it's just another lodge, having a hissy, saying, "Oh, she needs to recuse herself. She has a conflict of interest. She's a
yeah, why? Right, because she's black?
Right. That's ultimately what they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, a black person. Well, here's my thing, and I'm going to get off the phone because I know other people want to talk. But what I love about her. And the whole thing, I mean, I tell people, everybody's like, of course, because I'm the voice of all black people in this country. Well, look, they indicted. I said, and so? They're already out on bail.
Yeah, they made bail a lot faster than some nonviolent protesters did. There were nonviolent protesters who spent in excess of 36 hours in a holding cell with no access to water.
Mm-hmm. So until I see convictions... And real convictions with real time, that's when I'll be impressed. Like, who was the fool, the one, you know, in wherever the state, I lose track, Bob, the one, the reserve officer that shot the brother, and he got to go on
vacation.
Oh, that's
Oklahoma. Yeah, went on an island vacation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we okay, y'all, you know, cause I know you stressed and this is overwhelming for you. So you go ahead on your vacation. Just be sure now to be back on time for court in July. Seriously?
Yeah.
And then like you said, and we still got you said the brothers and sisters that were the nonviolent protesters took them 36 hours to get out of jail.
Yeah. Well, Bond was lower for at least one of the accused killers. Bond was lower for one of those than it was for a couple of protesters, and who hadn't done nothing.
Mm-hmm. And so it goes. I mean, I'm at that point now. Like I said, I it's terrible for me to say, but I have now lost track of all the black men that have been killed. Oh, and here's another, because I'm taking statistics, I'm actually understanding it, so scary. And so that means I'm going to start learning how to do data and understand it. So apparently, 5 years ago, there was a black man killed, let's see, one black man killed, or something, I can't remember, but in a day, 24 black men were killed by at least every hour, something horrible like that, by either a policeman, a security guard, or a vigilante. 24. Now the numbers are 12. For every 12, there's 12 black men every killed on like an or every hour or every day. I got to get the statistics right. But the bottom line is, in 5 years, it's gone from 24 to 12, and it's been killed by a vigilante, a cop, or a security officer. That's just not just run-of-the-mill people. That's not black on black crime. That's not, you know, a drug deal go wrong or any other stuff. These are basically sanctioned murders. And I guess there's finally, guess what? They're found on to investigate murderers of black men, the FBI. Go figure. Ain't that something? So anyway.
Well, yeah, Tracy, the thing is, though, I guess this is part of being a cynic or hard-boiled or
just tired of the bullshit,
crazy, whatever. I've heard so much political crap that I despair of any real solution.
And I promise
because nobody's talking about the real solution or anything resembling a real solution. Well, I mean,
the solution is jobs and getting people out of despair and giving people hope and showing people that you don't have to live, you know, that people giving people a chance. That's my part of the solution for me. How dare people have, what do you think would happen in all seriousness if they took the time, if we were taking the time to spend money on education, spending money so when people decide to go to school, that college is not some faraway dream and crazy because it's so expensive that you can't go. Or better yet, because everybody doesn't want to go to college, having trade schools like they used to that aren't like these bullshit average college and all these that, you know, you spend all this money.
Right, no. See, there are real questions out there. Who is gonna maintain the energy infrastructure, of the future? Are those some jobs that maybe we could let the, oh God, and I even hate using the buzzwords, the disadvantaged members of the black community. Could we let them have a few of those jobs? Or how about a serious conversation on what the housing bubble and subprimes and credit default swaps did to those blighted neighborhoods? You hear the quotation marks around that?
Blighted.
There's this. Okay. We gotta rethink. And by rethink, I mean think about it again. Jobs, because like for instance, at the beginning of the quest for labor fairness, say in the automotive industry, part of the pushback, part of the labor complaint was, hey, you got to stand in here doing this monotonous, repetitive work for hours after hours, day after day, and eventually it makes us want to just kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
To which to which management replied, and that's a problem? And it was.
I can replace you. That's no big deal.
Okay, but we've got the same problem in a different context now. You know, for years, do you want fries with that was the punchline to a joke about people who wound up working in the fast food industry.
For years, because it was a joke, because typically you did anybody.
Well, like for instance, after the demise of the original Van Halen, any time that David Lee Roth's name got mentioned, somebody would say, "Do you want fries with that?" Just like after the presidential campaign of 1996. There was a running gag about Bob Dole says, "Welcome to Walmart."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it ain't funny though.
It ain't funny
and,
no
and
more.
So what I'm getting at here is, if you spend every day of your life slapping burgers on the grill at Wendy's, and this goes beyond the simple fight for 15. I personally think they don't just need jobs. They need full-time jobs.
Okay? Yes.
And they need full-time jobs that pay a living wage. And they need full-time jobs that pay a living wage, and they need child care.
Child care.
For free, okay?
For free.
They need nutrition assistance. Now, maybe if mommy and mommy, or daddy and daddy, or mommy and daddy are both working a $20 an hour job and raising four kids, and raising four kids, and they've got health care, and they've got a decent place to live, and they got child care, and they have meaningful access to nutrition, and they don't live in a food desert inside some blighted inner city landscape. Well, then we can say that we're making some progress.
We're making some
progress. But Tracy, we don't have any of those things.
Mm-mm.
It's not like we're looking for the last puzzle piece. We're looking for the puzzle box.
Look, I'm like, okay, this bullshit, Floyd, Mary, whatever the boy's name with the fighter, whatever. This motherfucker just tweeted, see, I'm doing it again, said that if he wanted to fight, he would pay that $10 million bond for Suge Knight. Why? What has Suge Knight done? What possible reason why would anybody need to get his ass out of jail? Don't you think, why not do something with that $10 million? I don't know, like all the stuff that you talked about doing in this community. How about that? And put that money to use to somebody, a group of folks that need it and could use it. Suge Knight should have been underneath the jail 1,000 years ago.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you. Now that you've got to go and download the April 15th episode of the program so you can listen to Reverend Bowens. When you get done with that, Tracy, and I know you've heard him before, so you know why I'm saying this, I'm suggesting you and anyone interested in this larger discussion maybe go and have a listen to Dr. Bill's program from today, and I think it's going to carry over into tomorrow and Wednesday as well, because that's an essential, I mean, it's an essential component not just to preventing riots, okay? It's an essential component of maintaining whatever it is that we recognize as the American experience. And it's a matter of looking at economics, Tracy, where capital in capitalist economics, capital comes first. And wealth comes first, and management comes first, and the rich come first. Well, unless we do something fairly quick about making people come first, the whole damn thing really is going to fall down around everybody's ears.
And this is what I don't understand. It's like, do you not, okay, yes, there's enough people here that you can easily replace. If I drop dead to, God help me for even saying that. But there will be somebody more than happy to sit their butts in my cab without issue. Okay? We are disposable as employees, as workers, or what have you. They don't care. And so, but at some point, if there's not enough of us to buy your stuff or work for you, then what? You have to have people to make your money. This is one of those things I've never understood about capitalism. It's like, even like he says, only as Henry Ford was, he got it. It's like, okay, how am I going to make a product that my employees can't afford? I need somebody to buy this shit. So, again, like you said, but my dad, back in the heydays of the 60s when they had the job programs for the disadvantaged black youth, the Urban League, my father was an apprentice carpenter through the Urban League. He went on to become, a journeyman and all that, eventually starting his own business. Why? Because he got the training to do so. My dad wasn't college material. He didn't care. Oh, you would think he graduated from high school, to tell you the truth. But he found something that he liked to do, and he was good at it. do you, again, like even with, like the cars that are coming out, Teslas and all that, there's going to have to be a whole group of people that knows how to work on those cars. How are they going to do it if they don't get trained? You got people, you got to think. We were talking about, I was talking to somebody about what happened, you know, as I'm learning more about the history of the, you know, the different programs that the federal government had in place. And, like, when Johnson tried to do the war on poverty, and, of course, you know, we had, okay, so do we go ahead and help the poor people here or go across the sea and kill a bunch of Asian people in Vietnam? Well, you can't pay for both, so which one do you think we did?
Let's go have a war.
Let's go have a war. Forgetting all the stuff that FDR did and all the work that had been put into place, and then we started waning off into going into, you know, the Nixon years with the law and order and all that, and white flight and all these things, you know. I mean, it's just when you get rid of the covenants and all this in 48, and black folks got to leave all their communities and start moving in with the white folks got scared, they picked up their shit, they started moving to the valley and all these other things, and they're moving further and further west out here. Guess what's happening, Bob? People are getting tired of driving to, you know, driving all about to Rancho Cucamonga and all these other places. They're starting to come back to the cities. And you know what's happening now? We're getting, you know, what they call urban renewal, but you and I call gentrification. So now that's what's happening here and pretty much everywhere. And so, you know, we're fighting that fight now. And it's just like, again, until we start having the real conversation and not about this fucking Sharia law and this stupid bitch Pam Geller, until we get rid of these tools and stop giving them airplay, and ignore, you know, and say, you know what, y'all do what you're going to do, but this is the people who really love America, this is what we're going to do. Until we start doing this kind of stuff, yeah. You got a bomb shelter, Bob?
Ain't even got a root cellar.
Well, we're gonna turn this around, because I get discouraged, but then I get optimistic. I have my moments of optimism, and I say to myself, self, we're going to turn this around. And it's not because of Hillary. Now, that's another frightening thing. That's a whole other conversation. I mean, we go from bad to worse. What are we going to do? But I know Bernie Sanders doesn't have a chance in hell to win, but I feel, do you think that he's entering the race to try to make Hillary accountable?
Well, you know, the working theory is that somehow or another, he's gonna drag her to the center, away from being the center right person that she is.
Well, donkeys fly.
I mean, I don't mean to be totally a nattering nabob, but of negativity, but I'm glad to have I Want a Pony on the ballot, as Grant said the other night. So
you're glad to have what on the ballot?
Well, you know, no. I mean, for so many years, you know, us progressives, we want somebody we can really stand behind on the ballot, and I call that, you know, usually it's in the form of saying I Want a Pony is not on the ballot. Well, the pony's on the ballot this time, and if people want a progressive that badly, then by God, get behind Bernie. It's that simple.
It's just that simple.
Because see, I don't think you get to be. As far as I'm concerned, anybody who supported the Iraq War doesn't get to call themselves a progressive.
Nope.
And so.
Nope.
Cruise missile liberals need not apply.
No. They should not. And on that note, I'm going to let you guys talk. I have my tutoring session and homework to do. So on that note.
Well, I'm so glad you called in, and I hope you enjoy the couple of podcasts. And let me know what you think.
Oh, I will, because I'm going to, like, after my tutoring session, I'm going to listen to it. And I will email you because I'm excited. Because all the time I got to cook dinner and all that for the wife. It's my, we've come up with a deal. I cook on Mondays and Tuesdays. She cooks Wednesdays and Thursdays. And Friday's her date night.
Nice. Very nice. Well, you have a good evening and happy studying. And I'm awful glad to hear from you, Tracy.
Awful glad to be talking to y'all. You guys take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend Tracy calling from the L.A. area in a cab somewhere on the 5 or the 10 or the 6, the 7, 8s or, you know, whatever y'all call them highways out there. Thank you, Tracy. It was a pleasure. Well, I think we're off to a roaring good start. I suspect we will be making a greater inquiry into Pam Geller, because I don't think has Gert Wilders packed up his bag, bag and his hood and his sheet and his little red flag with the Hakenkreuz on it and slithered back across the pond to the Netherlands yet? I don't think so. I think this is going to be worth talking about for a while yet. Incidents of personal expression, incidents of group expression, what Tracy said about hate in California, Pinole Valley High School in California, they produced a real Jim Dandy, a right smart, good baseball player. And he was a good enough of a high school baseball player to get himself a college scholarship to, Northridge State or something? Yeah, California State University, Northridge. Well, he's out of a scholarship now because back when Pinole Valley High School was playing St. Mary's College High School of Berkeley a week or so ago, the young man started hollering. There's video, I'm not playing the audio of it, of him screaming effing N-words at the family of another player. KGO reporting the story. And I guess he is out of a baseball scholarship. Pinole, P-I-N-O-L-E, Pinole, not Pinole. Who knows? Never know quite what to do with these things anymore. It's kind of like when people go down south and say Mobile, Alabama instead of Mobile. If you're not in touch. But anyway, the young man's lost his scholarship. And on the one hand, you think, you know, gee, that's a shame, but you know what? You don't just learn this stuff out on the mean streets of Pinole. This is the kind of stuff that gets taught in the home. As Willard Romney, the bishop, was fond of saying back in 2012, they built that. Mommy and Daddy did. So they can pay for college, too. Note coming in from Steve in China. People that I used to associate with were talking about rebuilding the infrastructure 20 or more years ago. Roads, bridges, water treatment plants, railroads, public spaces, everything. Being a part of the generation that has given us the modern computerized security state that we now exist in, it's still fair to say we did recognize the need for not abandoning the living environment, along with the humans who depend on it. I remember a lot of wasted years sitting around and complaining and waiting for the prosperity that was sure to come. But really, at this late date, people, it ain't going to happen. That's part of the reason I'm in a foreign country right now. It's why people a generation younger than you and I are starting their careers in foreign countries rather than retiring in them. Take that to heart. This ain't the land of opportunity anymore. By any stretch of the imagination. Dr. Bill was talking about that earlier today. This is not the America where you start off in the mailroom and work your way up, and after 50 years they give you a gold watch, and you've got a guaranteed benefit retirement pension, and you've got yourself some health care for your golden years, and you get the gold watch, and you go off and travel the country or have fun or whatever. No. No. This is a broken country. And I guess the real debate now is it broken beyond repair? And what happens if you fix it and you've still got shattered neighborhoods and shattered regions and shattered communities and shattered states? I can't talk about inner city Baltimore. I have no frame of reference for it. But I can talk about Southern West Virginia. And Southern West Virginia has been ignored and left to its own fate. There are old coal company houses I could show you within a 5-minute drive of right here, right now, that are every bit as beaten down and bedraggled and the people in it as absolutely worn out and wasted. I don't mean from drugs, as any other beneficiary of capitalism. The whole country. We're a country that's living on memories now. We're like the high school jock with the beer belly, remembering that one great play in 11th grade, you know, at the age of 60. The United States remembers its greatness. We do not live it. Worth thinking about. Phone lines are, of course, open. 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676. Horn is the gizmo line number. Maud, Harold, which is the Skype line, which confuses people. Harold is 304-574-8178. Either one of those gets you into the program, as does Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Email comes into BobKincaid@gmail.com. Right after I did the top of the hour fundraising mention, saying let's just try to get as far out in front of fundraising as we possibly can. I want to thank Dale for jumping right in there. And Dale would love to have some company this evening. So whatever, however much, it is welcome. Because truthfully speaking, we're not out front. Because we operate month to month, we're never out front. We'll be out front when May's taken care of before you get the idea. The bills come in 30 days in advance. We pay them, you get the idea. So your participation via the PayPal button is both tremendously appreciated and badly, always badly needed. So how about a little break? And then we will get started back with your phone calls, should you choose to make them, or else, it's more Ann Monday, and I got more than ample material for filibobstering. Either way is fine by me. This is listener-supported conversation radio that you keep on the air. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thanks, Ron.
Heard about Detroit. Heard about Pittsburgh, PA. You ought to know not to stand by the window. Somebody see you up there. I got some groceries, some peanut butter to last a couple of days. But I ain't got no speakers, ain't got no headphones, ain't got no records to play.
Talking Heads, Life During Wartime. There's some interesting questions to try to answer inside that song. You know, philosophical type stuff. This is the horn that is Moran Monday, and we're going to, I suspect, be talking a little more about Pam Geller. But just to get, if you're not familiar with her, then let's take a minute to check out a conversation, a confrontation, really, between Allison Camerota and Pam Geller over on the for-profit media on CNN. Try to follow this twisted logic without inserting the swirly straw into your favorite fifth of God only knows what. Old panther piss, whatever. And let's just see how that works out. Okay, shall we? Yeah.
Geller, she's the executive director of the American Freedom Defense Initiative. She organized the Draw Mohammed event in Texas. Pam, thanks so much for being on New Day.
Thank you for having me, Alison.
Pamela, where were you when the gunman opened fire and what happened inside?
We had just finished a free speech conference. We had Herb Wilders there. We had depictions of Muhammad through history for the past 1,400 years. And we had held a contest, as you know. And the winner, interestingly enough, was a former Muslim, Bosch Faustin. And we had finished the event. It was really very well received, roughly 300 people there. And it was at that time where these two gunmen attempted to storm the building, and they shot at the police.
Now, hold on. See, she makes it sound like some sort of damned museum exhibit. Oh, we had depictions of Muhammad through the... Then why was there a cartoon contest? And at the risk of further incitement, wouldn't you love to see what a follower of Pam Geller does in the way of a cartoon? and they tried to storm the compound. Because you tried to get them to storm the compound, right, Tammy? Right.
And we were all in the room, and the police came in and put us all into lockdown. And so, of course, this terrible incident reflects the need for such conferences.
This terrible, absolutely unforeseeable incident that we didn't at all try to gin up in the least by making it as inflammatory and incendiary as possible. This terrible incident.
It's illustrative of the violent assault on the freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah, it's illustrative of the violent assault on freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Except that they got exactly the result that they were looking to get, because they're trying to create an impression that there's already a little holy war going on, and that, well, they didn't start it. I mean, it's not that, but no, it's those crazy Muslims, whom I am happy to leave to their religious practices. I want everybody, just please enjoy yourselves, whatever. Smirka. But when, I mean, Pam Geller is the philosophical equal of the people who bombed the church in Birmingham 50 years ago. There's not a dime's worth of difference between her and those Klansmen. Not a dime's, not a nickel's, not a penny's worth. But hold on, because Pam's going to climb up on the cross in a minute. Even though, God knows, we all need the wood.
Pam, you know, there was a tweet sent out before the attack, warning of the attack. Did you get any intel from the police about just how dangerous an event like this could be?
Well, it's dangerous because increasingly we're...
No, Pam, she didn't ask you why it's dangerous. She asked you, did you get any warning? See, the truth ain't in this woman.
Bridging our freedoms so as not to offend savages.
Savages. You got that? Every Muslim on planet Earth is a savage. Last I checked, that's called dehumanization. We've been to this movie before, haven't we?
The very idea that if something offends me, or I don't, or I'm insulted by something, I'll kill you.
By the way, what part of Texas does that accent come from? Because it sounds like she's Archie Bunker's next door neighbor there, meathead.
And that way I can get my way. And somehow this is okay with members of the elite media. And
Oh, yeah, because the elite media was all awash in headlines over the last couple of days saying, we're okay with attacks on public buildings because Sharia. All over the place. Did you miss it? I mean, it was everywhere. I don't guess we're elite media. We're hillbilly media. But, you know, golly!
Academia is outrageous.
Well,
it's a cartoon.
Sure.
It's a cartoon.
And the idea that we can't... That this warrants the violence that you saw. I mean, I haven't heard anyone in the... saying that it's okay for gunmen to show up at an event like this. But what people are saying is that there's always this fine line, you know, between freedom of speech and being intentionally incendiary and provocative.
Allison, it's called incitement. And she, Pam Geller, is a specialist, a past master at it. Let's call it what it is.
intentionally incendiary and provocative by drawing a cartoon. This is the low state of freedom of speech in this country. I disagree, and I...
Well, you can disagree all you want, Pam, but it's a fact.
Because it's not about cartoons. If there was, I don't know, if it was deeply offensive for Muslims to pick something, see Pam Geller walking on her hands with her toes up her butt. And believe you me, that would be offensive to most people. But if that was it, then Pam Geller would walk on her hands and try to get her toes up her butt. Because her game, her gig, her shtick, her mission in life is to offend Muslims. Because she wants a reaction out of them. Because that gives her then an opportunity to scream about how they all need to die.
Disagree most vehemently. The First Amendment, not the Eighth, not the Tenth, but the First, protects all speech, not just ideas that we like, but even core political speech, ideas that we don't like, because who would decide what's good and what's forbidden? The
Islamic State,
the government?
Yeah, the Islamic State, the government. You know what the First Amendment does not protect?
Incitement to riot. Incitement to violence. Intentional conduct, intentional speech designed solely and deliberately to inflame violent passions among other people. The First Amendment does not protect that, and it is Pam Geller's stock in trade.
Inoffensive speech, Allison, needs no protection. But in a pluralistic society, you have offensive speech. You have ideas. You have an exchange of ideas. You don't shut down a discussion because I'm offended. If something offends me, should I go out and slaughter people?
Sure,
when
of course.
Jesus Christ was...
Oh, I knew we'd get around to Jesus sooner or later. But something does offend her. And she's doing everything she possibly can to get as many of the people who offend her killed as possible.
Yes, you don't shut down a discussion because I'm offended. If something offends me, should I go out and slaughter people?
Sure,
when
of course.
Jesus Christ was put in a jar of urine, it was called art. Did Christians like it? Of course not. Did they slaughter people? Did they burn embassies? Did they kill whole communities?
Did the artist have to go into hiding? Was his life threatened, huh?
Of course not. This cannot be sanctioned. Yeah, this cannot be sanctioned. The West must stand up for freedom of speech. It's the core fundamental element of this constitutional republic.
I mean, The West.
Pick up the gun. You know, the West. But let's engage in a little thought experiment for the fun of it here. What if a group of Muslims held, and they would never do this, of course, because understand that Jesus is a prophet to them, and they say peace be upon him after they say his name, just like they do with Moses or Muhammad, okay? But for the sake of consideration, what if some Muslims had a cartoon drawing contest under the theme, Jesus was gay? Which side of the protest line do you suppose Pam Geller would be on in that instance? If you were to show Pam Geller, and this is a little bit closer to home, if you were to show Pam Geller some of the political cartoonage from, say, 1930s Germany, which side do you suppose
Pam Geller would be on then. Because I think we both know that she'd be screaming about how hateful it was. Because it was. Because it was an on-ramp to genocide. But in Pam Geller's disgusting world, it's only genocide if it's people you like! She needs to go back to tweeting bikini pictures or something.
What your critics say about this is that you weren't just going after, say, Al-Qaeda or ISIS or extremism, but even just Islam. I mean, let me read to you a portion, an excerpt from your keynote speaker, Geert Wilders, who said this to the crowd before the attack broke out. He said, "Our Judeo-Christian culture is far superior to the Islamic one. I can give you a million reasons, but here is an important one. We've got humor and they don't. Islam does not allow free speech because free speech shows how evil and wrong Islam is. And Islam does not allow humor because humor shows how foolish and ridiculous it is."
And yet, you know what? Hey, you know why Jesus doesn't eat M&Ms? They fall through the holes in his hands. Because we've got humor because we're the West. I don't care who you are, that's funny. So Jesus is up on the cross, and things are fading fast, and the lights are going out, and he says, "Peter, Peter." And Peter elbows his way to the crowd, and he says, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus says, "I can see your house from here." Oh, golly, that's a knee slapper. Of course, Muslims would probably be offended by that, too. Because it's a joke that's meant to be offensive. But see, I mean, that just proves how much superior Christians and Jews are to Muslims. Because Muslims don't have a sense of humor. Did you know that never in the history of Islam has a Muslim ever laughed? Never. Not once. They scarcely even smile. They're such a dour lot. I mean, Muslims don't laugh at a pratfall. Muslims don't laugh at dick jokes. Muslims don't laugh at fart jokes. Muslims aren't funny. When you make blanket statements like that, isn't it pretty obvious that you're into collective punishment, collective eradication? I mean, if Geert Wilders truly believes what he said, then why should Muslims even be allowed to live? Let's go back to that.
Broke out. He said, "Our Judeo-Christian culture is far superior to the Islamic one."
Our Judeo-Christian culture is far superior to the Islamic one. That's a pretty broad statement. I mean, cultural superiority? Really? That's just two doors down from eugenics, isn't it? Maybe Geert Wilders figured that out by reading the bumps on people's head. Phrenology. Or maybe it has something to do with demons or black bile or ill humors. That's some culture, that Judeo-Christian culture. Them weren't Muslims doing the Holocaust there, Geert. Of course, for all we know, he's a Holocaust denier, too.
"I can give you a million reasons, but here is an important one. We've got humor and they don't."
You know, I can't believe that. Jesus, do I have to explain everything, Jim?
Christ and M&Ms. Bob, that's totally inappropriate. I make no apologies.
Of course it is. I said it was. But we've got humor, remember? And they don't.
Because, you know, they're doer humorless Muslims. Free speech shows how evil and wrong Islam is? Something about that kind of rubs the wrong way.
Islam does not allow free speech because free speech shows how evil and wrong Islam is. And Islam does not allow humor because humor shows how foolish and ridiculous it is.
So Islam is foolish and ridiculous. I think Geert Wilders has been watching a little too much Lawrence of Arabia lately.
So long as the Arabs fight tribe against tribe, so long will they be a little people, a silly people, greedy, barbarous, and cruel.
Yeah. That's just straight up bigotry. No, that's free speech. That's just the marketplace of ideas at work. If they want to poke and poke and poke until they get themselves a religious war, well, you know, I mean, these things happen.
Now, of course, that's not about extremism. He's talking about a religion of which there are 3 million Muslims even here in the United States.
First of all, he's entitled to his opinion. End of story.
No, not end of story. He's entitled to his opinion in his country. I mean, good God, we had a story, what, just last week, where the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said that it was okay to blow the brains out of a teenager, a Mexican teenager, standing on Mexican soil when the Border Patrol agent was standing on American soil because he had no Fourth Amendment rights. Does white privilege convey American constitutional rights to white people who aren't Americans? Is that where we are now? It's his opinion. You share it, Pam. Own it.
So what? So we said that. And frankly, what...
Yeah, so what? And so what if we had a cartoon drawing contest to try to defame somebody's religious avatar? Interesting, there was not a concomitant contest to maybe paint the Madonna with elephant dung. I remember that one getting the Christians all right worked up once upon a time, don't you?
He said was true. There is no humor. Khomeini, when he took over in 1979, said there is no humor. The fact is that we need to have this discussion. Allison, there's a problem in Islam. And the problem is we can't talk about the problem. We are seeing the wholesale slaughter of Christians in Iraq and in Syria.
I remember when there was some wholesale slaughter of Christians in Iraq. If I'm not mistaken, we had a hand in that. And that was a war that Pam Geller didn't have any problem with. Well, you know, it's only a problem if we're not the ones doing it and making a tidy buck off of it. Now, here's another one of those thought experiments. Because Pam Geller is one of these Israel Uber Allahs types. What if we said... I mean, for instance, what if we cited an airliner that couldn't get off the tarmac and head for the runway and couldn't take off for, and was delayed by an hour or so because a doer humorless, unsmiling, unlaughing, ultra-Orthodox Jewish man refused to sit next to the filthy, filthy woman? What if we then said, there's a problem in Judaism? Pam Geller would be outraged. And whoever said that, she would start one of her little well-funded crusades to remove from public discourse. She would probably call that person an anti-Semite. You know, during most recent slaughtering of people in Gaza, including no small number of children, Pam Geller was all for it. You know, let's make lice.
In Nigeria, in the Congo, Central African Republic, the jihad is raging. And all we can talk about is backlash of phobia.
And the problem with getting one of these goobers on and trying to talk policy with them is they understand next to nothing about the core causes of those conflicts. You can look at the so-called jihad all day. But if you don't find somewhere buried in there the person who wants to hold autocratic power over other people, and if it's Islam, he'll use Islam, and it's always a guy. If it's Christianity, he'll use Christianity. There's no end. If somebody could seize power. If somebody could seize power by using the flying spaghetti monster, you can bet there'd be a flying spaghetti monster jihad going on somewhere. But Pam Geller lives in a really, really silly, dualistic world where all the answers are easy and simple.
It's nonsense. We have to be able to discuss. And when you say, I'm anti-Muslim, excuse me, I'm anti-jihad.
Bullshit. She just said she agreed with Geert Wilders' statement that Islam is a worthless faith. I mean, I feel kind of funny. I'm sitting here defending somebody's religion, but I'm an American, one of the real ones. I don't mean because of any particular attribute or characteristic, but because I really believe, I really hold as something approaching sacred the rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution. And freedom of religion is one of them. But Pam Geller is one of those medievalist throwbacks who would like to deport, I guess, all the Muslims. Then, remember Chocolate Jesus, the one with his chocolate boy bits exposed? Yeah, that artist had to go into hiding because, what's his name? That jackass with a fax machine. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. He got his followers so riled up that they threatened the life of the artist, and the artist, again, had to go into hiding.
And anyone that says that I'm anti-Muslim is implying that all Muslims support jihad.
Actually, no, dumbass. You're the one who said you're anti-Muslim about 15, 20 seconds ago, but who's counting?
That sounds Islamophobic to me.
But the reason that people believe your group is anti-Islam is because of quotes like that from the keynote speaker where he was just talking about Islam. He wasn't talking... What you're mentioning, I mean, the things that you're citing are the extremism, the violence, the terrorism. But he's just talking about Islam. I mean, how can you say that 3 million Muslims here in the United States are humorless? How can you say that they don't believe in peace?
He did not say that.
Yes, he did!
did not say that. We're talking about the ideology. Under the Sharia, there is creed apartheid, there is gender apartheid, there is Islamic anti-Semitism and misogyny. These are very real. And who gives voice to the voiceless? Where are the victims?
Yeah, right, because Pam Geller is the one to fix that. Sure, there's misogyny in Islam. There's misogyny in Orthodox Judaism. They're swimming in it. But you know what? Christians can't fix that. Muslims can't fix that. Only Jews can fix the misogyny in Judaism. So, you know, thanks for the help, Pam. But now, and I want to put this delicately, shut the fuck up. Because you're not the person to fix Islam. If women want change in how Islam works, women must organize, and well, they can either reject it and walk away, or they can organize within it. And you know what? As nearby as Morgantown, West Virginia, there's an Islamic center, and there is a feminist Muslim woman who has been raising a ruckus for years for equal treatment of both sexes. Under the catch-all of that faith. And good for her. There are Mormon women, who are agitating for admission of women to the Mormon priesthood. There are Roman Catholic women agitating for admission of Roman Catholic women to the Roman Catholic priesthood. Can't fix that. You know, it's like the conversation we had with Frank Schaefer last week. I'm not a member of the cult. I don't get a vote. I can only sit back here and say, well, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm not a member of the cult. And by the way, I'm speaking anthropologically, and all religions are cults. Mm-hmm.
Get to speak. Every time a victim speaks out, they're accused of Islamophobia. It's absurd on its face. And
how are you a goddamn victim? I mean, this, there it is, writ large. Oh, she's a victim. She's American, she's Jewish, but she's a victim of Islam. Because she can't. And yet at the same time, she is fundraising off of Islamic backs 24/7. That is a beautiful hustle, isn't it?
You can quote Mr. Wilders, but when you're talking about my work and what I do, quote me and quote my work.
Well,
but
I support
because what Mr. Wilders is
speaker,
doing.
Are we quoting him? But, you know, so that represents part of what the event was about.
But what did he say that wasn't true?
Well,
She said, and notice the overtalk. What did he say that wasn't true? Allison Camerota tries to quote him, and Pamela Geller won't shut the up.
Islam does not allow humor. Now, Pam, do you know anyone who's Muslim?
Of course.
Of course. Because they talk like that in Texas. So, God, I wish we had somebody Muslim in the audience. I got one. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender looks at the horse. Says, why the long face? Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, what do you have? Horse says, I'll have a martini. Bartender thinks, well, you know, this horse is probably pretty stupid. So he brings him the martini. The horse says, how much do I owe you? Bartender says, $1,000. The horse pays up. A little bit later, bartender comes over and says, you want another one? Horse says, no, I think one's enough for me. And bartender says, you know, we don't get a lot of horses in here. Horse says, well, at $1,000 a martini, I'm not surprised.
Now, they're not the greatest jokes in the world. I mean, if I wanted a really good one, I'd get Edward in Dallas to call in, and maybe he could repeat the... repeat the little boy in the hall writing a poem joke. I laughed right then, and I still laugh. But I... Nope. No Muslims. No Muslims laugh at silly jokes. Two cannibals are eating a clown. One looks at the other and says, "Does this taste funny to you?" Nope, no Muslim would ever laugh at that. Jesus.
And do you think they're humorless?
Listen, you're being very condescending.
No, Pam, listen.
It was the Ayatollah Khomeini. Are you willing to say that the Ayatollah Khomeini was not a supreme leader in the Muslim world? Are you willing to say
that? Yeah, I'm willing to say that, dumbass. Because he wasn't. He was the supreme leader of Iran, which is Shia. And he was anathema to the Sunni world. Wahhabist Sunni folks pay attention to the Grand Mufti of Mecca, among others. Sunni, Shia, Presbyterian, Lutheran, same.
He's the one who said that there are no jokes. Okay, so you know I don't like what you're saying, Allison. Because I don't like what you're saying, and you're offending me. Should we be violent, so that we can shut down your speech?
Of course not.
Is that what you're advocating?
No. Listen,
well,
of course not.
I'd pay money if Allison would have said, "Sister, if you were here and not in Dallas," and take it from there. So a horse's ass walks into a bar. The bartender looks at it and says, "What'll you have, Pam?"
To have this conversation.
Look, this is what's so great. We're having this conversation on CNN. It's great to be able to debate this and have this conversation. And by the way, what's interesting about your event is that everyone, even there's this piece in the Daily Beast right now that talks about that there were scores of Muslim leaders who supported your right to have this event. They didn't like it, but they supported your right to freedom of speech. Let me read to you a quote from one of them. This was a New York City Muslim community leader. She said, "Pamela Geller can draw any damn cartoon she wants, and I defend her right to do so. I have always fought for her right to be a bigot, and I have the right to counter her bigotry with my own free speech." I mean, this is a Muslim leader saying that you have the right to have an event like that. But again,
this is a Muslim leader who is attacking me and insulting me and
The poor thing, she's under attack.
Ad hominem attacks, and isn't that generous of her? Look, she's not the problem. Okay? The problem is that a group, and we don't know how many others were involved, attempted to open fire on a gathering of free speech. That's the problem, Allison. You're bringing it up with these silly distractions. No one is saying...
Yeah, it's a silly distraction when somebody completely eviscerates an argument.
...that there aren't peaceful Muslims, but there is a problem in Islam, as illustrated last night, and anyone that addresses it gets attacked in this same way.
You know what's interesting? This clip has gone on since God was a baby now, and she still hasn't illustrated the problem in Islam. The only problem we have identified here is that she took her little road show to a suburb of Dallas and poke sharp sticks at people. That's the only problem so far. They brought in a bigot from the Netherlands who said that Islam isn't funny. How many funny religions are there apart from the laughing, smiling Buddha? Religion generally isn't funny. Because it's all about making sure that people stay permanently enthralled to the religion and are never free enough to look behind the curtain and realize that they're being manipulated. How many funny Christian theologians are there? Never heard Billy Graham exactly making people wet themselves in the seat with laughter.
Pat Robertson may chuckle a little bit when he's fantasizing about transgender people, but he's not particularly funny, and I don't particularly think it's a goddamn laugh line when James Dobson says that children need to be beaten until they cry real tears. Granted, Creflo Dollar laughs all the way to the goddamn bank, but he doesn't laugh in the face of the congregation when he's hustling them for a fucking Gulfstream. And calling her a bigot is not an ad hominem attack. Bigot is a descriptive word that adequately and accurately describes what that woman is.
Whereas you should be directing your barbs at the enforcers of the Sharia and those that seek to...
The enforcers of the Sharia? What Sharia? Objection, Your Honor. Assume facts not in evidence. There ain't no Sharia. Well, I mean, you know, among the communities there are, but that's like that. That's like saying, talking about the enforcers of the Mosaic Law. I mean, Jesus Christ, the couple of rabbis got popped and tried and busted because they were running a kidnapping racket to persuade husbands to deliver the get for a divorce. And then there was the Amish, for fuck's sake. The Amish bunch who were running around shearing off people's beards. There's all kinds of religious law. And people participating in the religion follow the law. I mean, Jesus Christ, if you're Catholic and you get a divorce, you can get it through the government, but the church thinks you're a fucking heretic. And Sharia among 3 million people, that's what she's worried about. I guess it makes for a nice living. Daffy Duck. It's a living. I may be a coward, but I'm a greedy coward.
To destroy and crush freedom of speech the way they did in Paris and in Copenhagen.
Listen, absolutely. I mean, the bottom line.
Yeah, because in Copenhagen and Paris, they don't have any freedom of speech anymore. They've closed up all the cafes over on the Rive Gauche. And people aren't, people aren't sitting there drinking coffee and wine and stacking up the saucers and putting the glasses to one side and chain smoking guitars and yelling at each other about the relative merits of obscure impressionist artists. No, hell no, that's not happening in France anymore, because they don't have any freedom of speech.
Is that freedom of speech can never be met with violence. No one can ever open fire on a group of innocent people. I mean, obviously, that is from the get-go. That's where you and I and everybody in this country agrees.
Well, some don't there, Allison. I mean, open fire, it all depends on how you define opening fire, doesn't it? I mean, isn't there an Iraq war vet with permanent brain injuries from getting point blanked with a beanbag from a shotgun by a police officer in was it San Francisco? Yeah. I mean, weren't there snipers pointing guns at innocent citizens exercising their constitutional right in Ferguson? Huh? Yeah, there were. And then there's Baltimore.
But there is a debate to be had about what the line is between freedom of speech and provocation. Have we lost Pam? But Pam, listen, the point is...
No, sadly, Allison, you have not lost Pam. Pam will not get lost.
isn't that you don't have the right to do it. Of course you have the right to do it. It just seems that you don't draw the distinction between extremism and violence and Islam as a whole.
And Allison, part of that is because this woman is a right-winger and they are perpetual victims and they never see a problem with their incitement. That and this is, you know, this is a conversation that should be expanded beyond the lunacy of Pam Geller, and it should take into account people like Glenn Beck, formerly on your corporation's payroll, I might add, Allison, and O'Reilly and Savage and Hannity and Flimball, and I guess Pam Geller is going to be on the life support system for a haircuts program tonight. Maybe already. Who knows? But they don't recognize incitement as an issue as long as they're the ones doing the inciting. As long as Glenn Beck is the one inspiring people to go and take pot shots at the Tides Foundation, it's just entertainment. And see, that's what this Mohammed cartoon is, just entertainment. But meanwhile, these no-good bastards are trying to start a war in this country. And that is a sure enough fact. Just a little bit left of this garbage.
And you don't draw the distinction between civilized men and savages. Because you're saying that if something I say offends someone, then they have the right to behave in a certain way, that it's going to incite them. I think it's ridiculous. I think the blasphemy laws under the Sharia is ridiculous.
The Sharia. She's beginning to sound like Brooklyn's version of Sarah Palin. God, I wonder if she can see Mecca from her house. But again, you see, she doesn't even recognize the concept of incitement, which is not protected speech.
I think the people, the tens of thousands of people that are slaughtered under this law is monstrous. And that's what you and I should be addressing. Not this nonsense we can't talk about it.
Really? Tens of thousands of people are being slaughtered under Sharia law right here in the United States of America? The greatest country in the world on earth now ever today? No, but see, that's just because by the time I wake, you know, by the time us Muslim mollycoddlers wake up, it'll be too late, and we'll all be on a rug pointing toward Mecca, or else they'll cut your head off.
What the problem comes when you paint with this broad brush, and when you say savages in the same sentence as Islam, it makes it sound as though you're calling Muslims savages. And when he makes these broad brush,
show me where I use Muslim and savages one time in my entire life. Show me now. You just made an accusation. Show me where I said that.
Well, you were just saying savages. So we all agree.
I said you did not draw a distinction between.
I think she is really honest to God mentally ill. Because she clearly said savages back a ways, and I'm not going to go looking for it.
Civilized men and savages. Civilized men can disagree. Savages will kill you when they disagree.
Yes,
that's the distinction that I make.
Of course, but you said the religion of savages. I mean, you know that there are...
I did not say it. Go back. I never said it. And everybody out there...
Okay.
I didn't say it. And even if I did, I didn't say it. It wasn't me. And even if it was, I was only following orders.
Pam, you're right.
Pam,
listen, I don't want to play a semantics game with you, but I do think that your critics have a point when they say that you paint with a broad brush stroke and it sounds like you're anti-Islam.
No, you paint with a broad brush.
You do.
With a brush. I am anti-jihad. I am anti-Sharia. You, by saying I paint with a broad brush, are saying all Muslims support jihad.
I wonder how she feels about the Mosaic Law. I don't care. I don't care if she follows it, if she doesn't, whatever. But I wonder how she feels about it. Does she follow it? Should America worry about that? Because there's kind of some stoning offenses in there, too.
At least when you're getting head lopped, it's one good lopping over. But, man, one rock after another, and it begins to get annoying after a little while until you're dead.
And Allison, you sound very Islamophobic.
Pam, of course all Muslims don't support jihad. The point is that when your speakers say that Islam is foolish.
You reckon they'd fire Allison if she said, Pam, you're an idiot, get off my air. We need to sell some Viagra now. We're going to break. We'll be back. This is CNN. You think she could get away with that?
It is ridiculous. How he says here how evil and wrong Islam is. I mean, when you just said that, of course you know Muslim people. Do you think that they're evil and wrong? I mean, how can your keynote speaker?
I am not concerned. I'm not concerned with Muslims. I'm not concerned with Muslims, especially peaceful Muslims.
The acid must be kicking in now.
I am concerned with the 25% that support Sharia. I am concerned with the amputations and the female genital mutilation and the honor violence. I am concerned that the media whitewashes and scrubs this. I am concerned for the victims. And if I have to take this kind of abuse to speak up for the victims...
Because, see, that's abuse, the last few minutes. That's abuse.
It seems like a small price to pay.
Listen, of course everyone's concerned about the violence, but let's face it, your event wasn't just about the violence. It was about...
My event was about freedom of speech, period. Freedom of speech is the First Amendment. It's the first and most protected political speech, the most protected, because who would decide what's good and what's forbidden? These arbitrary voices, you, the Muslim Brotherhood, we need to...
How quick? Do you think Pam Geller, you know, because, I mean, we're talking about freedom of speech here. How quick do you think she'd sue if maybe somebody bought signage on New York City buses that said, Pam Geller has syphilis? Or Pam Geller has genital warts? Huh? In a New York minute, you're damn right. Therein proving what a revolting liar she is.
Have this conversation, and the fact that we have to spend upwards of $50,000 in security speaks to how dangerous and how in trouble freedom of speech is in this country. And then we have to get on these news shows, and somehow we are those that are targeted, those that were going to be slaughtered, are the ones who get attacked, speaks to how morally inverted this conversation is.
Consider the fact that and that's enough. Consider the fact that they spent $50,000 on security for their little inflammatory event. And then she complained about it. There's the fun part. $50,000 on security for that event? The rental for that hall in Garland, Texas? Just like Creflo Dollar. She's laughing all the way to the bank. Mm-hmm. And then there's this. Now, while Pam Geller is pretty sure that it's the Sharia that brought this on and not their incitement of people's feelings about their religious avatar, then there's Peter King. Repiglican from New York City. Former supporter of the terrorist IRA. And he realizes that the real war with Islamist terrorism, we're fighting it with one hand behind our brains, or backs, or one brain behind, I forget how Rush Limbaugh says it, but because Hillary. When people like Hillary Clinton say that police should not have weapons of war, the fact is we are at war. We are at war with Islamist terrorism, and we have to have all weapons and all resources available. We shouldn't even be having a debate about whether that exhibition was provocative. Being in America means that you can be provocative.
This is the First Amendment. We cannot sacrifice our Constitution to Islamists or politically correct commentators. We cannot have a mine shaft gap. Oh, sorry, different movie. Yep. If Pam Geller can't go around the country trying to incite violence out of a couple of disaffected roomies from Phoenix, well, who bought? I'm sure they bought, and we won't have that discussion either. I'm sure they bought their assault weapons street legal, baby. But don't expect the for-profit media to go looking into that. Maybe they bought them at a gun show. Huh? Don't expect the for-profit media to go looking into that either. No, sorry. Oh, by the way, Texas has other problems far beyond the range and reach of Sharia law. Just in case you were wondering, there's a wee little tiny Texas school district, the Crane Independent School District, and that wee little tiny school district, and Crane High School in particular, with all of 300 students, has at least 20 cases of chlamydia running through it. I don't know about you, but when it comes to caring about my family, I'm a lot more worried about chlamydia than I am about Sharia law. Then again, maybe there's a reason Pam Geller doesn't talk about chlamydia instead of Sharia law. In the Crane Independent School District student handbook, it says, we do not offer a curriculum in human sexuality. Although back in 2012, the district school health advisory committee did recommend worth the wait an abstinence plus curriculum if they were going to talk about sex at all. In Texas, generally, sexually transmitted diseases have sort of gone through the roof lately. Between 2012 and 2013, syphilis diagnoses went up 31%, and the Centers for Disease Control showed that in the South, generally, 8 of the 11 states with the highest rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis are in the South. You know, the Confederacy. Sure, why not? And we wouldn't be having any kind of a respectable discussion, and I use the term loosely, about the Garland shooting controversy if we didn't check in with America's truth detector. You know, the oxymoron.
I wonder how the president's going to respond to the situation in Garland, Texas. ISIS shooters show up because it is said they were provoked. Pam Geller and her group, oh yeah, they can have a convention on drawing cartoons of the prophet, but they are responsible for what happens. If somebody pulls a gun out and shoots at them, it is their fault. Not the perps, not the shooters, it's their fault. Because Islam tells us you cannot draw pictures of the prophet. Okay, fine. If...
By the way, these are the words of Grand Mufti Rush Limbaugh, who is an expert expositor of what the Quran does and does not say about depictions of the prophet, in case you were wondering.
Americans are to respect and obey the laws of Islam that prohibit the drawing of pictures of Muhammad. Then why wouldn't Americans have to respect and obey Islam's laws and punishments regarding gays and women? I mean, if it's that important to them, who are we to disagree if they say you...
Jesus, the spirochetes are tangoing in his brain right now, aren't they?
Can't draw pictures of the prophet, and we say, you're right, we can't. And anybody that does, why, they're going to get what's coming to them. Then you move over to other aspects of militant Islam, and we know what happens to homosexuals in Iran or any other Islamic country. We know what happens to women. Well, if we're going to respect and obey the laws about drawing cartoons of the Prophet, don't we have to respect what Islam says about homosexuality and women? I mean, I don't, where do we draw the line and say, no, we can ignore that?
You know, just like fundamentalist Christianity does with every part of the Bible that they don't agree with. See how it works? Yeah, Leviticus says no homo, but Leviticus says no shrimp. And meanwhile, Emery and Marveline, leaving Sunday dinner, run over to the Luby's for the fried shrimp dinner.
Does picture business? Nope, we got to follow that to the letter of the law.
Nobody's saying follow anything. The discussion is actually whether or not these right-wingers should be permitted to engage in incitement, which, I reiterate, is not protected speech. Why is it that right-wingers can understand that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but they can't? But that's the only incitement case that they understand. It's kind of like talking about prosecutors and ham sandwiches. A prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich, but we can't understand why Darren Wilson didn't get indicted in that dummied-up job in Ferguson. Jesus. Stupid. Goes on and on. Oh, but sleep tight tonight, America. Carly Fiorina is running for president. Sleep tight tonight, America. Ben Carson is running for president. Sleep tight tonight, or tomorrow night, America. Mike Huckabee is running for president to save you from the Sharia. But really, that's about enough of that. Got a little bit of time left in the program. And we need to hit some other stuff. A few notes. Robert in Australia says, humor, a difficult concept. The church in England didn't think Monty Python's Life of Brian was funny. It almost wasn't released in England. Here in Australia, the Queensland state government banned it. I've always found it gets funnier the more I watch it. P.S. The Last Temptation of Christ was protested by the Festival of Light, a fundamentalist Christian group here in Australia. Their protest was protested by the H.R. Gumbies, who declared that Brian was the true Messiah. Yeah. I mean, the pythons were pursued under... Wait, I thought only Sharia law had blasphemy laws. Yeah, they were damn near pursued under an English blasphemy law that is apparently still on the books in Merry Oldie. This being the 4th of May. Marty notes, may the 4th be with you. The stupid is strong with this one. In regard to Pam Geller. Interesting, Pam Geller brought up clitorectomy, as Tim from L.A. notes. She didn't say a damn word about circumcision. And, wow, I didn't know there were so many. Tim from L.A. just sent me an entire sheet of Jesus jokes. What's the difference between Jesus and a picture of Jesus? You only need one nail to hang up a picture of Jesus. Whoa. Yeah, I kind of heard that too. Michael in Madison observing, Rush sounds excited about executing some gays and women. He wants him some Sharia, American style. Sharia, American style. No, sorry. So long as we get the whole Sharia. Is that like the full Sharia? I don't know. Hey, let's check in real quick with Jim in Colorado. Hey, you're horning in on Ron's shtick. I'm going to get another trademark complaint. Now quit it.
Okay. These white Christians, and I'm going to start spelling Christians with a K.
I suggest you spell it with three.
Exactly. They have this ability to perceive their messiahs. Now they have this delusion that their messiah's delusion extends throughout the universe, not only on this planet and this little minor solar system, but throughout the whole cosmos, which is like total bullshit to me.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's just, I just find it mind-boggling sometimes when I should, sound of the gun. Oh, also, great lead in music, Talking Heads, Sound of the Gunfire, I'm used to it now, fantastic. But it's just, you just see this. Maybe I'm just getting tired of it because it's just same old arguments and stuff. It's just like on the internet, on the Twitter, I keep on seeing people trying to bring up about Darwin was wrong, and they don't really. And I'm not a biologist by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, that's okay. The right wing aren't scientists; they'll never notice.
They're barely the theologians in their own ring. But it's just, Darwin was wrong. I keep on seeing it come up sometimes, and I'm just like, I don't even bother with it. But do you see that coming up on your Twitter account? Or I see you periodically on there. I just stay away from it.
Nah, look, arguing, there's no point. Because you can't make factual arguments about beliefs. Because
they're
beliefs.
Right.
But beliefs are not grounded in intellect. Beliefs are not grounded in wit. Beliefs are not grounded in intelligence. They are grounded in things that are generally inculcated into us as children before we have any sort of defense against them, Jim.
Oh yeah.
You were mentioning all those people on all those planets in all that cosmos. Pick one. The 19-headed lizard people from Norblap 12 who've never heard of Jesus. And you sit down and you explain the cosmology of Christianity to them, and they just look at you and go, we need to prep the laser cannons and just blow you fuckers out of space.
That's nuts.
You really believe that? Because, of course, the 19-headed lizard people from Norblap 12 are Muslims, and they don't have a sense of humor.
Well, that's the other thing. I've mentioned this on your fantastic program, by the way.
You're too kind.
Location has more to do with what your freaking religion is, and by that, it's not just the spot.
Right. Transpose the good little Roman Catholic who was born in the Middle Ages in Italy, and and suddenly the kid's born in, in Muslim Spain, and the little kid's going to grow up knowing about things like bathing and maybe understanding disease process and, you know, all kind, and they're not going to question that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Any more than the little Italian, any more than the little Italian kid is going to question that Mary was a virgin who stayed a virgin all the way through having a pregnancy and giving birth, and she somehow, you ever think of it? Jesus must have been a little tiny baby to be able to pass through her without breaking her hymen. That's pretty impressive. That's a neat trick.
It's one of those Christian hat tricks, you know. But, I mean, even then, going back before that in the Greek days, the Greco, before the Roman came in, they seemed to be, I guess it was the fall of the Roman Empire that just lost everything, then, you know.
Well, in the West they did, Jim. The Roman Empire continued for another 1,000 years in the East.
Yeah, Byzantine, yeah. But I just caught a third of the way through. These two women, and exactly who were they? Because I couldn't get who
that was. Allison Camerota of CNN and Pam Geller, the instigator of the event that led to the shooting in Garland, Texas.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there was a... and she was defending, trying to defend, not seeing that would happen.
They could... Well, no, they obviously did, because she admits they spent $50,000, on security. So that tells you that they intended the outcome that they got.
Wait, what is that I smell? Bob, do I smell a lawsuit somewhere? I think I smell a lawsuit. You with your little law school.
No, I doubt it.
Oh, just for publicity's sake.
Well, they killed the two gunmen, who, even though they were allegedly dangerous Sharia Muslims, armed to the teeth, were still taken down by one cop with one pistol.
What, a .38? That's all?
Probably a .40 Smith & Wesson, or, you know, something, a Glock, something like that.
Was it Clint Eastwood?
Just a beat cop. Just a beat cop, that's all. There were $50,000 worth of SWAT team.
Afterwards?
No. At the thing.
Oh.
Because they knew that they were trying to gin up this exact response.
Yeah, I mean, that you can see that, I'm going to paraphrase the Stones again, Moonlight Mile Away. You can see that coming.
Right.
That's blatant.
It's not exactly rocket science.
Even in Texas. Because, I mean... Not all the wackos in Texas are on one side. They're spread out all over, just like wackos wherever you live. They're spread out all over. Colorado, I guess that's why I don't live in Colorado. Colorado Springs, over there. It's a little bit to the right, from what I understand, right? Hello?
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. Just, you know, watch where you go. Just Try to stay in the liberal parts of Colorado. But then again, if anybody can deal with right wingers, it's probably you. I mean, at this point in time, Jim, you're a veteran. You come from Louisiana, Stan.
Oh yeah. Well, I have to go with the lawsuit. He who speaks does not know. He who knows does not speak. So I let them say their piece, and judging by variables on different levels, and I do this without a computer in my head. I usually just let sleeping dogs lie, you know, instead of like try and convince them of this or that or that they are wrong, or I'm a couple of years older than you, and I've just reached the point where I really don't care. You want to screw up the planet? You want to screw up the environment? Go ahead. I haven't totally given up. You want everybody walking around with a gun? That really sounds like a stupid idea, but.
But it wouldn't be the first stupid idea that humanity ever had.
Yeah. But, it gets frustrating. Of course, it gives you, the great thing about that for you is it gives you fuel for your show. Because you will never run out of tactics or idiotic stupidity to.
That's the funny thing. Doing a program from the left is a lot easier than doing one from the right, because all you got to do is read the news. On the other hand, if you to do it from the right, you got to read the news and then turn it into some monstrous conspiracy, like Peter King. Hillary's trying to disarm the police so the ISIS can bring the Sharia that Pam Geller can see from her house. The funny thing is, maybe because it's more work, that's why it pays more. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a minute ago encouraging people to support the program. That cannot be said often enough. Dale jumped in right at the beginning of the program. Nobody since.
I love the fact that you mentioned conspiracy, because that used to be kind of familiar with the JFK conspiracy and blah, 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 and all that. And the military-industrial complex. It's funny how the right, the extreme right wing, saw how well that worked, and then they adapted it and co-opted it. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because now everything's a, and especially with Clinton, and by the way, go Bernie Sanders, and God, I mean. Non-existent skies, Luke. I hope that would be great if he wins, but we're still a long ways off. But that's what I'm putting my money behind. So.
But at least there's somebody we can enjoy running in the primary.
Yeah. I'd like to see Jesse Ventura get into
what? Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina and Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz aren't enough for you? What does it take to make you happy, Jim?
I have to go back to a Langston song. Baby, won't you keep me happy? Yeah, it's just one after another. I just caught the last part of your show last, I don't know, 45 minutes. So it's been fantastic as usual. And I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to it. Things are going fine in Colorado. So far, so good. And shouts out to the Juan Molloy chat group and everybody.
We enjoy the fact that you're kind of keeping the family informed, Jim. We really, really do.
Well, don't forget, I'm living on the edge, as we all are. Because, I mean, you're here today, you're going tomorrow. That can happen anywhere, anytime. But I'm just going to summon gunfire. I'm getting used to it. We're talking heads fade out.
Understood.
Check y'all later.
All right, Jim, you take care. We'll talk soon. Bye now. Calling from Colorado. Our buddy, Jim. So here we are, 4 minutes before the hour. Time to get out of here for the evening. We'll be back with Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Really, all help is good help. And our kind anonymous contributor over the weekend really wanted to see us keep up with fundraising through every night of the week. And we got a rock-solid $125 to go for the evening. I'm sorry to mention it. I'm truly sorry to mention it. But it's the only way we keep doing this. Okay? Okay. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go, all of you especially, who keep the program going. You make this network. I don't. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACAC, ACHEACT.org. And a reminder, if you have not signed the Credo ACAC petition, there's still an opportunity. It's still going on. And we're pushing toward 100,000 signatures. Imagine that. 100,000 American citizens who want to see mountaintop removal ended in Appalachia and ended everywhere else for that matter through passage of the ACE Act. You can add your voice to that very, or that increasingly loud voice. If you've already done it, share the petition around, please. It would be greatly appreciated. Act.credoaction.com. Find the ACE Act petition and share it. I expect we're going to cross 100,000 signatures. If we got to 180,000, that would be 10%, a number equal to 10% of the entire population of the state of West Virginia. How about that? It can happen. Share it, share it, share it. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.